Everyone, I'm here with Mike Quass with iCairo. I am very excited to introduce him. I've known him for many years. He is an amazing chiropractor in our area. Mike, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you well, but the rest of the community doesn't.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Michigan in Lansing. When I was a kid, I had really horrible migraine headaches, and nobody could figure out why. And they started obviously just giving me medications to mask how I felt. And this went on for years and nobody could, get me relief. I mean, you can take a pill and be out of it, but not really fixing why. And as time went on, everything just kept getting worse and worse. As a young kid, I couldn't play football. Every time I would like hit heads with somebody in football, I'd instantly have a headache. Be throwing up. It was really awful. Missing school, just having really bad, quality of life. And again, nobody knew what to do. They wanted to put me on experimental MS medication at the time because they just couldn't figure out what was going on. And we happened to be at the dentist one day just getting our teeth cleaned. And my mom was telling him about, what was going on with me. And he goes, "Oh, well, you should just take him to the chiropractor." And my mom was like, "Well, I don't know about that, and people don't know you don't know what you don't know, right?" And so anyway, we ended up going, and I had this guy work on me, and he worked on me a lot for probably about 6 months, and then I didn't have headaches anymore. And it was like the greatest thing ever. And I had already been to all these different doctors and doing all these different things. And it was like, to me, it was like a huge disappointment. And I was super shocked at why didn't the day I had a headache for the first time, why didn't the doctor just say, go to the chiropractor? Oh my gosh, my quality of life would have been hugely different, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went back to his office and asked him, I said, "Hey, what's the deal? Years ago, when I was having all these problems, why don't you just tell me to go to the chiropractor?" And our family physician's like, "Well, I don't know anything about that." And I'm like, "Excuse me? Like what?" And he goes, "I don't know anything about that. I'm trained to do drugs and some minor surgeries and diagnose some conditions." And I'm like, whatever. I perceived that if I needed to go to the chiropractor, that he would have told me that. Yeah. And now I'm finding out he doesn't know anything about it. Yeah. So how could he ever refer me to a chiropractor, because he doesn't know anything?
Yeah.
So he said, "What? I'm happy that, that chiropractor's working for you. It seems to be great. You need to just keep doing that." And I walked out of there and I'm like, wait, and he goes, "Listen, there's so many specialists in the medical field. Anything you can think of. You've got a special ear, nose, throat, an eye doctor. You've got, cancer doctors. You've got, everything, a foot doctor, anything you can think of, there's like specialists, because nobody can know everything."
Right.
Like, that seems obvious, but people don't think that way. They think their doctors do know everything.
Yeah. I think it's that old school mindset for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you just see it across the boards with everything. And I just remember him telling me, "Hey, keep doing that. It's working great." And I left there just kind of in awe of, like, a disappointing shock and awe that, this is weird. How many other people are out there suffering that could be being helped, and they're waiting for their doctor to tell them?
Yeah.
Now, people always say to me, "Well, yeah, but that was, that was 40 years ago."
Yeah.
Yeah, not much has changed. We still have patients come in today and they're like, "Well, I have to see what my doctor says." And I go, "I'll tell you what he's going to say, because he doesn't know anything about this." So much has changed just in the chiropractic realm that people can't even keep up. Yeah. I was just teaching at a seminar in Pittsburgh, and 75% of the chiropractors there, they're still using an old explanation of like how chiropractic works. That's wrong. It's flat out wrong. So like this idea that your bones pop out of place, mm-hmm. which is what has been used for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. That's not true. That's not how it works. If your vertebrae like popped out of place, you would have what's called a facet dislocation, which anybody in trauma care knows That is called bad news bears, right? You're in the ER, probably paralyzed if you have a facet dislocation. Okay. And it's usually from major traumas, like bad car accidents and things mm-hmm. like that, right? So the guy that bends down to pick up his pencil he dropped, who then pops his back out, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even close. So the way it works is the deep muscles around there are the things that get hurt. And then when you do different things, the muscles spasm and contract and pinch. And so mm-hmm. all the chiropractic stuff is actually done to the deep muscle, no matter what chiropractor you go to, no matter if they understand it and can explain it or not, it's still treatment is to the deep muscle.
Okay.
This is like what nobody knows. And they always talk about your back popping out, and it creates so much trouble because the patients then don't understand how it works. Because if you think about it, if my back popped out of place, how many times would it take a chiropractor to pop it back in?
Just, you'd assume once. You just feel the muscles have memory.
Right. So you'd think you'd just like pop it back, right? Well, the problem is because that's not even what happened, people have the wrong expectations of how that's going to work. So because their back didn't pop out, there's nothing to pop back in. I just had a guy come in and he's like, I've been to six guys and none of them could pop my neck in. And I'm like, because that's not what happened. If your neck popped out of place, you'd be paralyzed and you'd be in an ER. So here's the problem is that mindset and thinking sends people down the wrong paths. And then they actually then have really poor expectations, poor outcomes. Then they say the chiropractic didn't work. Once you go, you got to go forever because it keeps happening. And, you know, you're just not popping it in on purpose so that, you know, you can have me come more. I mean, all this like crazy talk.
Well, and I think that's the importance of just healthcare and customer expectation. Like whether you're a midwife practice or a traditional OB family practice chiropractor, it's right from the beginning, having good mission statements, good education for your staff, like, and for your clients, because if they expect you to do one adjustment and you didn't meet their expectation, even though you have this plan for them, it's so important to be on the same page, to be team and educating versus, hey, this is what we're going to do to you. We're going to do it with you.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's part of the problem just in healthcare in general is people don't have things explained to them. I mean, I have so many patients that, you know, when they come in and they're like, I'm taking this drug and I'm taking this, and the doctor said this, and I just go, well, what for or why? And they have no clue. They have no clue. So they're really not informed and empowered to really be making any kind of healthcare choice because they don't even know what's going on. And if this is like the model you want to use, it's just not very good. The better model is that patients are informed and educated about what's happening. So they're actually making empowered choices as to what's going on. And that's in any field. That's in my field. That's in your field. I mean, I know when we had our kids with you, everything was explained. All the options were laid out. Here's the different scenarios, and here's what we would do it here. And if this happens, we do this and this. So when we walked into it, everything was calm and relaxed. Everything was smooth and easy. There was no like shock and surprise because everything had been explained up front. Now, if I go back to my older kids that we had in the hospital, there's nothing explained. It was a shut up and do what you're told type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, we were not empowered. We did not have choice. We did not have any kind of say in what was really going on, which was very frustrating. And part of the reason why, you know, it's so important to me that patients understand, because ultimately it's their life and they have to choose and they have to live with the consequences of those choices, which is very unpopular today. Nobody wants to have the
it's the direct accountability. If somebody says, well, take this drug and you didn't get better, it's that person's fault versus, oh my gosh, I was doing this treatment, but I also needed to exercise and eat well. Now it's direct accountability. And I think that's hard. There's two different classes, at least I see, with the traditional midwifery and traditional chiropractic. And, you know, I'm just going to go with the mainstream system because it takes a lot more energy. It takes a lot more to research and think about things and have a conversation. I agree. Do you see that with chiropractics, like any different styles of chiropractics, like the ones that knew this from the beginning and the ones this is the last ditch effort, and how they perceive their care?
Well, sadly, most of the chiropractic care that's done is more what I call spa service, where people come in and they're like, well, I'm going to do this today and I'm going to do that. And the spa service really has very poor outcomes. I mean, you can make somebody feel better, but if you don't fix the underlying cause. So for example, I had a lady that came in, she hurt her neck. And I go, what did you do that hurt your neck? And she said, well, a butterfly flew by and I looked at it and hurt my neck. And I said, well, so it's the butterfly. And she's thinks about it and is like, well, so the problem is it wasn't the butterfly. It was the actual movement that she did, right? Everybody wants to blame the butterfly, the shoe tie, the drive in the car that took 2 hours, the sneeze, the cough, the lifting of a chair, the rolling over in bed, all these minor nothings. Everybody wants to be the cause, right? The cause is you don't move, right? So the lady's neck didn't work. I mean, it could have been a flying chicken that went by and that would have hurt her neck, right? It's not the butterfly, right? But she didn't know her neck didn't hurt because she felt fine. Yeah. And nobody tests your ranges of motion to even see where any problems could be. So we could work on her and her neck could feel great, but she still can't turn it. So now the next butterfly that goes by, guess what happens? The exact same thing. And then she says, oh, it didn't work. Once you go, you got to go forever. Like, it's like, no, duh. Of course it's going to happen again because you didn't fix why, right? The problem is people are not educated on the why. So like when we're working with patients, the first step's always to do an evaluation and find all their range of motion restrictions, write them down. And then when you work on people over time, you periodically will redo those and see if we're making gains or not. If you're not making gains, then they're going to have the same problems. The piece of that that is a big deal is the injury. But the other piece of it is when you have compression in a joint for a long time from those deep muscles squeezing it and making it not be able to bend and move right, you're also going to degenerate the joint, which is causing arthritis. So down the road, that person's at high, high risk of having degenerative arthritis, degenerative disc disease, osteoarthritis in those joints. And that should be no shocking surprise. Yeah. Like when
and
we
then it's told it's old age and it's normal.
Yeah. Right. If it was age, then every joint in your body would be worn out exactly the same. And you never see that. It's always certain areas are worn out more because they're being compressed by the muscle. Again, it all comes back to muscle. And that's where people just have the disconnect. It's not out of place. It's the muscle's been hurt and now it's squeezing and pinching everything together. And now nothing will move right, which allows you then to get hurt again every time you do any little thing.
Well, and I think it's our healthcare system in general. People are being trained to with what your insurance pays for and what your doctor or your provider focuses on is coming and seeing me after the problem happened. Don't come and see me to be proactive. Like, we're doing a little better with the Affordable Care Act and preventative, but it's minimal. You can't get in for 6 to 8 months to see somebody for preventative. You can get in right away for a problem, and then it's a Band-Aid on the problem. It takes time to get to the source of the problem. And I always wonder if there's a deeper conflict of interest with that, because if you solve the problem, you're not going to have patients.
Yeah. Well, there certainly is a conflict there because people don't realize that. I mean, all the joint replacements that are done, I mean, so many.
That's the big money maker. Could,
yeah, and you could prevent a lot of those different things from happening. I mean, it's not that difficult. It just takes time, effort, and a person to follow through, right? And that's where it gets hard too, because not everybody wants to follow through. When you're changing muscle, it takes effort, it takes time. You're not going to do it in a visit any more than me going to the gym one time is going to turn me into Mr. Fitness. I can't then walk around and tell everybody, oh, look, I'm still fat and out of shape. I went to the gym. It didn't work. And then you go, how many times you go? And I went, once. You're going to go, well, duh, of course it's not going to work, right? Because it's muscle. Muscle takes time to change. But literally every day I have patients come in and they'll tell me, well, I tried chiropractic before. And I go, oh, what did it work? What happened? Oh, no, it didn't really help. How many times you go? once. I'm like, oh, good Lord, have mercy.
And you've had the pain for 15 years, and then one time, like, people, I always try to give the equivocal of, this has been going on for how long, and you think one time is going to fix this years of trauma and challenge, and it takes time.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, the catch is sometimes people do feel better, so then they think that they've been fixed, because their definition of results is just symptom.
Yeah.
And it's not really functional restoration. And that's really where the magic is. That's like what we do that nobody does. I mean, it's very, very hard to find chiropractors. I mean, when I talk to patients and we, you know, I'm out and about and I go, hey, we're fixing your ranges of motion. We're watching that. We're tracking that. We're tracking your balance, how well you can move. We're checking your rotator cuff's mobility and function so that you can do stuff, so that you don't get arthritis, you don't have injuries. You're strong, you can have a good quality of life. As you get older, your balance is better, your quality of life is better. And everybody goes, well, I want that. And I go, well, why aren't you coming in? And they go, because I thought you were a chiropractor. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like the definitions and like people's perceived thoughts of what these things are is so like misrepresented everywhere.
And that's the same with midwifery. That's where I think chiropractors and midwifery have so much interconnected. Few people know what a midwife is. Fewer have like a biased perception. It's one extreme or the other. Well, they deliver babies in the hospital, and many of them can practice midwifery to an extent, but midwifery is the out of hospital, and they're very great, qualified, skilled. But I would get asked the weirdest questions, like you said, at interviews or perceptions of what midwifery is. They just don't know. It's not the mainstream, and how the knowledge out there, the blogs and everything, is good and bad. Like your friends you talk to, you're just like, okay, yeah. So I agree wholeheartedly with you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, most people, if they have an open mind and they're willing to learn, you know, then you get good results. It's the people that don't have those things that are challenging. And I mean, when it comes to having like a midwife come in, and because we did and have that, you get more education at what's going on. You feel more empowered that you're making choices and options. You have contingency backup plans. So, because people are always like, well, what if something bad happens? Well, yeah, it can. But here's the gig. There's plans for that. Mm-hmm. And when you have a midwife that's done things before and seen a lot of stuff, you know, then there's more confidence. But when none of that gets explained and it just seems weird and odd, you know, nobody knows what they're picking. And so a lot of people don't realize it, because when you do even a cost comparison, so when I did a cost comparison of what it cost in the hospital to do the home birth, it's gigantic. It's huge.
Yeah. Difference. And people don't realize, like, it, because they don't see it in the backdrops if they've got a decent insurance plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like over 60% more do it in the hospital. At least for us with our plan. And we have a plan that covers stuff, but it was still. And then you're at the hospital where the sickest and most horrific bacteria live, where all of these different, you know, just anybody sick in the city, they're all in the hospital. And then,
well,
you're
the origin
go there,
of the word, like, hospital means sick house. The origin, like, people don't realize why hospitals were created and the history of maternity care. And it's always interesting to me, like, people will question, oh my gosh, you did it at home. I'm like, they did that 100 years ago. If you call a doctor, they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, it's a cultural mindset. Like chiropractics, like, I always like the history of learning about chiropractics and how it merged. Like, it's a competition to physicians, so a lot of the lobbying and a lot of legislature isn't about trying to collaborate the two together. It's to try to defeat the competition. Are you noticing that too?
Oh yeah, it's always been that way, and people don't realize it. I mean, I have an example. I had a patient coming in, and he had horrible cluster headaches. And he was a young guy, he's in his early 30s, and he was disabled from it. So we're all paying for him to just sit home, right? He can't work. He'd been to U of M headache clinic. He'd been to the Mayo clinic. And of course, the solutions were all just more pain masking pills, right? So he's on opioids. And we meet his wife at some expo we were at, right? And she's like, I'm bringing my husband in. And he's like, yeah, whatever. You know, people always say stuff and they don't follow through, but she did bring him in, and he was a complete jerk. Like, when you give him a brochure, he would crumble it up, throw it at the girls. Like, cause he didn't want to be in our office at all. Right. Cause he thought he knew all about it. I know all about chiropractic. I'm like, that's funny, because I can't even find chiropractors that know all about it. And I don't know all about it. I'm learning stuff every day. There's new research. There's new studies. There's new stuff that comes out. Like, you got to keep up. It's challenging. So anyway, his wife makes him follow through with what we're doing, right? And 6 months later, he's off all his opioids. He's functional and back working off his disability. And his wife's crying in tears because she's got her husband back, right? And it's like the most awesome thing. Well, anyway, and that's like our product. So it was like really cool and we're all happy. But then his doctor at the pain clinic calls me and he says, hey, what'd you do with this guy? I go, what do you mean? He goes, I can't believe he's better. Like, we've been seeing him for years. And seeing him means he'd go there once a month and the doctor would say, do you still have headaches? And he'd say, yes, I do. And he'd stamp his refill. Here's your prescription. Have a nice day. Charge insurance company $450 for that 5 second visit and on to the next one. Right. So now the doctor's like, what'd you do? You know, so I'm like, well, we actually got him better. He goes, well, I need to see what you're doing. So anyway, he comes over to the office. I show him what we're doing. We have the computerized adjustments, the different technologies that we use, all new stuff that's come out, and explain everything to the doctor. And he's like, wow, that all makes really good sense. And he goes, boy, I wish I could refer people to you. And I go, what? I go, you can, you know, it's okay. You can. And he goes, no, I work for the big group in town and they don't let us just refer to anybody. I have to refer to the clinics that they own.
Yeah.
So I have to refer to the PT clinics that they own. I can't be referring outside that network. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I could lose my job. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, that's weird. The public thinks that you're not referring to me because you think that we're crazy or it doesn't work or something like that. And he goes, oh no, that's not it at all. He goes, it's just purely, you know, financial. I have to keep my job.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's really disappointing that, you know, that's how that works. And he goes, well, I could probably justify it if you could send me, you know, maybe like 5 or 6 cases a month for different testings and stuff. And I said, well, I'm like, I don't see people that need those types of tests. You know, we just don't see that. So I can't do it. He goes, well, I guess I can't refer to you. So this perception that people have that it's all about just helping people and the good of mankind, right? And that all, and you know, there's obviously, you know, good and bad and everything. But when you have all these incentives for doctors to not refer or to keep things in house, I mean, that's
well, I was thinking, I told myself I wouldn't go on the COVID trip, but all I'm thinking is like healthcare and research, and like so many people assume that doctors would stand up and say, well, this is the best evidence treatment and care for XYZ, a pandemic. And there's a lot of backdrops of losing their licenses, threatening jobs. There's not a lot of jobs. So the public doesn't realize that when they're giving advice from their practitioner, it's not, there's a lot of bias involved. There's a lot of conflict interest on so many levels because the systems have become so big. So that's all I keep thinking about is like, there is so many examples. People make assumptions that healthcare providers want to do what's best, but people don't realize those backdrop restrictions they have on them.
Yeah. And just what the person's job is. So for example, when we were having our first kid that we had in the hospital, the OB that we had, I had all sorts of questions for her. I'm like, well, what about this? What about that? How come this is this? And this is the way this works. And I don't understand how come this is this. And she probably didn't like me because I was asking way too many questions, you know. And she finally just said, you know, stopped. And she goes, I don't know any of that stuff. All I do is I take whatever is handed down to me from my supervisors and I implement it. And I said, so you're not looking at the research. You're not looking into all these different papers and reading, spending all this time trying to figure out the best course of action for different things and the side effects of all these different medications and drugs and how they interact. I go, you're not doing none of that. And she goes, oh no, I don't have time for that. I am just implementing what the higher ups in the system. Yeah. And that was a real eye opener to me because that's not how I perceived things were going down. I perceived it very differently. And so that's why I appreciated, you know, working with you guys and as a midwife to really get a lot of that stuff talked about and then come to some conclusions and have some plans.
I think that's the power of a private practice. Yeah. That's the power of being able to have autonomy. Yeah. If you get employed by a system, you give and take, you get a paycheck, but you may not get everything you were looking for. And yeah, that's why I'm so passionate to help midwives and birth workers and even just learning the power of chiropractic and running a private practice versus joining a bigger system, what difference it makes. So Mike, with iChiro, let me know, you have a very unique structure and I think it could be easily implemented to certain areas of the country with midwives. Tell me how you've structured your chiropractic practice.
Well, obviously, you know, when you get into practice, you want to be Mr. Magic Hands and be like healing people left and right. Like that's the thing. And you think it's all about, you know, well, I did this technique. And if you walk clockwise around the table instead of counterclockwise, you get better results. And so I call it technique spastics, where people get so spastic on technique, even with a lot of birth stuff. It's always like, well, Webster technique. And then I watch a video on Webster technique and it's just like basic diversified adjustments. I'm like, what the heck? So everybody makes up all these techniques so that they can be somehow different, right? Yeah. And they really think that the technique is the magic.
Yeah.
And we all want to be the magic, right? But the hardcore fact of it is the technique really is not the secret sauce. The secret sauce is, are you changing the muscle and are you're doing it enough that it actually changes so that it adapts and holds everything together differently? And if you're doing that, whatever, on the technique. So I discovered that along the way, because I would have all these people who would get different results, and they'd say all these different things about the technique. And it really wasn't, because half of them didn't even know what the technique was, and they were saying the wrong thing. So as we started to like dive into that, I'm like, really, you just need a way to measure what's going on, and then work on it enough to see some tissue change, and remeasure it again. And in my background, I high jumped at Michigan State. And as an athlete, what the trainers would do is they would like give you a workout program for your deficiencies. So they would say, how high can you jump? How fast can you run? And they would do all these measurements and write it all down. And then they put together a workout routine to help you in your areas of weakness, right? And then you would do that for a period of time, and then they would repeat those measures and see, are we making progress on those goals? And if we weren't, then they would change the routine to better fit. And so I'm like, why don't we do that in chiropractic? We should be doing that. Everybody just comes in as a spa service. Oh, my neck hurts today, work on it. Oh, I feel so much better, I'll be back when I hurt again. And you can do that, and you can argue that's better than taking pills, because it most certainly is. But there's something so much better called functional restoration, where you're actually restoring the mobility of all your joints, measuring it, watching it, and keeping it well. Then you don't have the injuries, the arthritis, and all of that stuff. And that's so much better. It's just people don't even know that's available. So once we stumbled on that, we're like, we need to just figure this out. So I just created that as a system. And then there's so many chiropractors out there who do not, and this is probably true in like all of our technical fields, right? They really don't want to have to worry about accounting, marketing, getting new clients, going to expos and companies and all these different things. It's like everybody in school I would talk to, they like hated that. And nobody wanted to do that. They just wanted to like go out and practice, open up, put a shingle up, open up, and tons of people would pile in because they had magic hands. And once people heard that you were magic, then you'd be so busy, right? Mm-hmm. And if you weren't magic, it's because you weren't certified in the right technique. So you needed level 2, then level 3, then level 1. If you only got to level 7, then people will come pouring into you and you won't be able to handle it, right? And that's all a load of crap. It's not none of that. It's if you're not good at those things, then you need to find somebody who is. So our system at iChiro was, you know what? I like to do all that marketing and all that stuff. That's fun to me because I like to educate. So I just go places and educate like we are now. I'll go to every chamber meeting. I'll go to every networking group. I'll go to everything I can and just talk to people about what we do because I love to educate. Well, I have chiropractors who then work for me too, who maybe they don't like to go and talk to groups. In fact, they can't. They would pass out. They're just not, that's just not how they are, right? Mm-hmm. But they're really good doctors. They want to just show up. They want to adjust people. They want to treat people, be really good at their techniques and do all of that. But they're, if you put them in a building and put a sign up, they would go out of business, which half our profession does, because people don't know enough about it that they're just going to come. So you get somebody who's kind of nerdy, who can't talk because you need a thesaurus and a medical dictionary to communicate with them because they're so smart, they're never going to get a new patient. So you, in magic hands, that's like a myth, right? So what happens is we can bring like the two things together where we can have people who can do the business end, who can do the communication and the marketing and set up all the systems. And then you can have doctors who are super good technical experts, but still be able to have people to work on, and you can bring those things together. And it works very well. And the bottom line is the results in the patients, right? And so having the system, setting it up, putting it all together, and then having that just be unraveled so that people can actually come in, go through a process where they're tested, retested, see how they're doing. Once they hit a plateau, then we put them on, all right, you should probably maintain that and do this. And I can get people who are really in bad shape and good shape, and we can find clinicians who just want to be a doctor and they don't want to be an accountant and they don't want to be, you know, a marketer, and the last thing they want to do is go to networking groups. Department,
they like to send that to you, so
yeah, well, I mean, that's part of it, right? But mm-hmm. it's just, you know, trying to figure out a way to make each piece in a company valuable, because it is valuable. But if you don't have a good technician,
self-employment and business ownership, you have a different mindset. If you do self-employment, you're doing it all yourself. You're only one person in your time. You've created a system. You look at it like an entrepreneurial business ownership model.
Yeah, because I'm mad that I didn't get the opportunity to be free of headaches sooner. Yeah. So when I was in practice myself, before I had the stuff figured out, I had to do everything, and I was working like 80 hours a week, and that was fine because I was very motivated to try to help people because I didn't want to see people suffer like I did. That I'm still mad about that. The problem is there was a limit to what I could do. I could only see so many people, like, and then there's no more of you. There's not enough time. So you're only going to be able to help like a little bit. And that was annoying to me because I want to help a lot. Right. But if I could get me to help a little bit, and another person would be on our team to help a little bit, and another person, and another person, and another person, now all of a sudden we're providing massive volume of help to patients, right? That individually we could never do. Mm-hmm. And individually, some of the people that work in our clinic would never make it on their own and would probably be working at Walmart or, you know, yeah, teaching at a college, which there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. But if you're wanting to be a chiropractor, then, you know, you have to have this diverse skill set if you're going to do everything yourself. And you look at anything, you know, being a midwife, being a massage therapist, I mean, any of that's the same thing. It's all the same. You know, you're going to do so much just alone. And yeah, if you can build a team, you can actually help more. But then it comes back to purpose, right? So some people, it's just a job. So, you know, they're not waking up irritated that there's people suffering out there and they could do something about it. Like, I'm not okay with that. That drives me all the time when I feel like, you know, I've had enough, I want to quit, because everybody goes through that all the time, right? It's cycles. And you're like, you know, oh, I'm so sick of this. But then it's like, yeah, but you know what? How many of those little kids out there with headaches like you were are suffering, and you keeping quiet or not doing something, they're going to continue to do that. I mean, what would have happened to me if I never would have went to the chiropractor and they had me on experimental MS drugs as like a 12-year-old? Holy crap. I mean,
life would be a completely different path than it is now.
Oh my gosh. I would probably be addicted to opioids and sitting on a street corner somewhere. I mean, that is so like, so I use that as a motivator to me to keep pushing me and believe that God like put you here for a purpose and a reason, and that doing that stuff is what it's about. And at the end of the day, you want to know that you did all you could do, right? And didn't half-ass it, or, you know, oh, I only tried halfway because it's too hard or whatever. It's like you only get one go in life. And so I'm like, no, I want to give it a full throttle push and do everything that we can as effective as possible. And we're not going to be perfect, but we need to push hard to make positive change for the community and for people.
Well, and I think that's part of the drive and the passion. It's being able to find what makes you happy. And like, for example, with me, when I was 16, chose to be a midwife, like my vision of midwifery at 16 is completely different than my mid-30s. But the still core of why I became a midwife, I want to support families. I want to support my community. And like you, I've learned myself where I'm a systems person. I love to do a little bit of home birth still here and there and hold a hand and see this beautiful birth. But I can serve this whole country. I can serve this whole, so I have a very similar personality to you that like, how can I serve with my talent and skills? How can it go out to more people? How can you help people in your industry? And you've done a fabulous job of it in West Michigan. The billboards are everywhere I smile when I see them all the time.
Well, we're trying to change the mindset too from a spa service type thing to really a functional mobility, restore your motion and function. And there's so much opportunity out there. It's not even funny. It's just, again, people don't know. And it all comes back to they think your back popped out. It always cycles back to that. And that's where all the misunderstandings stem from. And when you have, you know, chiropractors or people saying that, like we're real strict. If I hear anybody in the office, if my staff hears anybody even say anything about something popping out, we're going to be all over that. Because you can have a joint pop out, like your shoulder can pop out a joint. Again, you'll be in the hospital. That's the appropriate place, right? But your back is not doing that. So when people say that, it screws up the truth about how it's actually happening. So we're correcting people all the time. They get mad. Oh, I know. I just say that. I go, you can't say that anymore because you're poisoning the viewpoint to every person you say that to. Yeah. And now they're going to have like all these bad expectations and they're not going to get results and they're going to blame it on the chiropractor. And that's not even fair. I mean, when you don't, you know, if you don't do anything I say, it's like, yeah, it's like if I'm trying to lose weight and I just am never going to follow through, it's not the plan's fault. It's called, I just didn't follow through. Right. So people need to be held accountable to that understanding too. And that's hard. I mean, that a lot of what we do is making sure people know what they're picking, because a lot of people don't, and then they're full of regret. And then, you know, here they are older going, oh, I should have listened to you. And I'm like, yep, you should have, but you made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. And look at me. I'm not having any negative impact by you thinking that you were like not following through on something. It didn't like, it's ridiculous. I mean, we're going to give you the truth. And that's a hard thing too, because a lot of recommendations. So we just had this conversation with a physician, primary care, and we needed a referral from her for one of our patients, which is really rare. There's only like a couple insurances that need a referral anymore. Most people can just come in. But the doctor said, well, you know, I see this request for referral. I'm going to give you 3 visits. And our staff's like, 3 visits, that's not going to change anything. A chronic problem, 3 visits. I mean, you might as that's like going to the gym 3 times and then wondering where are your weight.
Why you've lost 100 pounds and you're back to your preteen amazing weight.
Yeah, it's like insane. But she doesn't even understand it. She doesn't know we're working on muscle. She thinks your back pops out. I talked to so many doctors and they're like clueless on this. Yeah. It's really bizarre. But that's where you get a lot of like the pushback too, is because it doesn't quite make sense to them. And a lot of healthcare people, that's where chiropractic doesn't make sense to them because they can't like put this together. Yeah. And it's because that's not how it works. There's a whole different thing. So anyway, the doctor, we're talking to her and we're like, well, we need to get, you know, I don't even know how many visits, but this many visits over this time. And she's like, oh, well, the patient will never do that. And We said, well, we're still going to tell the patients the truth about what they need. Whether they do it or not is their choice. I'm not going to mislead a patient into thinking that a half-ass effort is what I'm recommending. Because then when they don't get results, they're going to say, well, this is what you recommended. And I'm like, no, I did never said a half-ass effort. Here's what you need to do to give you the best odds of success. That's our job. So we asked that doctor, I go, so you're making recommendations based on what you think somebody will be compliant with instead of what they really need. And she said, yes. I said, well, we don't do that. We're going to tell you, you know, and I know from just being in the athletic world, and I'm also a strength and conditioning specialist. It's like, you don't tell people. I mean, if you go, you know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to work out, you know, once a week, and I want to see this big, and I know, I think that's all you're going to be willing to do. I can't then, it's not right to then go, okay, yeah, let's do that. I can say, okay, that's better than nothing, but we need to revamp your expectations, because there's no way you're going to get where you want to go to going down that path.
Yeah.
You have the wrong plan to get there. It's like using the wrong Google map. You're going to end up in a place and you're going to go, how did I get here? And we see that all the time with patients where they come in, they're like, I mean, we just had a guy, he's been going to the chiropractor for 40 years, 40 years. And he came in and we tested him and he's a wreck, just a wreck. He has no range of motion. He has all his mobility problems. He's got degeneration, arthritis, all his issues. And I go, I thought you were going for 40 years. He goes, well, I do, it's maintenance. I go, well, I don't know what you're maintaining, but it looks like crappy function is what you've been maintaining because you're not doing good, right? And he's mad because he thought he was doing great because he went in there once a month. And I go, well, how did they know where to work on you? He's like, well, I don't know. I just lay on the table and they would adjust me. And I'm like, but like, how was your function changing? Did you see any? Well, I would feel better. I go, right, but were anything being measured? So it was like another spa service type thing where there's really no effect. It's just, let's do something. And I mean, it feels like it was good and it felt good, but what are we actually changing and what is the goal? And if that's your goal, hey, that's fine. You know, the majority of the profession, the majority of the massage therapy profession, it's all, you know, based on just a symptom relief, temporary feel good spa service type thing. And,
well, and I think that's important to you to know your business. Whatever you're starting, you're going to say, okay, do I want to help people? Do I want a boutique shop? What is the brand? What is the image I want to present? When you're making your business plan, it's really important to keep to that mission, because if you get off track and you're now getting a higher volume and you're missing that, like, you have to redirect yourself. You have to know why you did this and where you want it to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, opportunity out there for people if they just want to do like a relief care type thing or a temporary feel good spa type service. That's easy because that's what the public understands. Right. What I'm doing, that ain't easy, because you're in a fight and argument with everybody all the time because we're actually challenging their beliefs.
Yeah.
And they have these set beliefs that they have. And most people, once you decide about something, have what you believe and think about it, you like close the file cabinet and you put it away. And then when somebody questions you about it, you'll defend that vigorously, that viewpoint, because you don't want to be wrong, or you don't want to admit that you didn't really investigate it. A whole bunch of issues psychologically why people don't want to go there. But to then have to get somebody to reopen that file cabinet and look at what they decided, and that's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, and then they look at that and they realize, oh, gee, I guess I didn't make the best decision. Yep. I mean,
the regret,
there's
the remorse, the feelings. And that's that failure mindset we're taught, especially business owners, when we're so young and kids, like, failing is bad. I want to fail as fast as possible because I'm going to be better sooner. But it's a mind shift. We're taught when we're so little that, especially for business owners, you're taught, oh, I can't make a mistake. I'm like, the sooner you make a mistake, the sooner you learn from it and you move and you better yourself from it.
Well, and that's a problem, like, in our profession. You haven't seen a lot of advancement in the volume of people, our population, actually utilizing chiropractic care like we should. And my theory, part of the problem is because you get a guy or a gal, they go into practice. Like you said, they make all kinds of mistakes. They figure stuff out, you know, and over time they get to a certain level and then they retire. What do? They're going to sell their practice to some young person. They'll come in And then they'll decide they're going to change everything and everything different. And that practice, and I've seen this time and time and time again, the practice crashes because they change everything. And then it takes that person, if they survive, which again, 50% of them fail. If they then come back up, the cycle repeats. And then they have somebody come in who then, oh, I think I know better. You know, you always think you know better when you come right out of school and you don't know nothing. Like then they change everything and then it crashes into the toilet. And then they, if they survive, it comes back. So like our model, what I'm trying to do is fix that. So what I'm trying to do is we have the model where we're at and we're trying to bring in chiropractors who we can then teach the system, get their head around it, and then they can then franchise off and do an iChiro franchise and then keep going, right? Yeah. And if we did that enough, then we would have that knowledge base. So all the stuff I had to learn through the School of Hard Knocks, if I could take a kid when they get out of school and have a few years with them, we could ramp them up to speed so fast on how to avoid all the pitfalls and how to do things effectively. Everything, again, that I had to learn the hard way. I mean, wouldn't it have been sweet, like the day I came out of school, somebody said, hey, let's show you all the stuff that you screw up, the hard knocks, so you don't step in the same pitfall that everyone else is. Because everybody's like going down this path and there's like big holes with spikes in them. And it's like one falls in, then the next, then the next, then the next. And it's like, nobody's going, hey, don't step in here. And they just let everybody, it's like ridiculous. If you could have that, you could be so much more effective, successful, get better results for patients. And the same type of thing with what you do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking with midwifery. Like that's what I'm so passionate, because I envision systems and helping the new green midwives want to start private practice, but are, especially nurse midwives, they're so hesitant. There's a lot of myths of what private practice looks like. The misunderstandings with call coverage, the misunderstandings of how you can't have a life outside of a job. Like I learned the hard way. I learned hard knocks, and I wanted from that experience better people, just like use that bigger system. Like if we get it with midwifery, you get somebody retired, burnout, and then the new person comes in and tries to fill that void. And it's a cyclical cycle. And so yeah, you and I are very similar with chiropractors and midwives. And so I want to be respectful of your time, Mike. I appreciate everything you've done. What is the best way they can get a hold of you if they have questions? I know you love to teach. Tell them a little bit of contact information.
Yeah, so I mean, the best way is obviously, you know, if somebody's looking for an evaluation, is just to call the office and come in. You know, you can Google us online. Or if somebody needs a speaker or somebody to come and educate, I do that all the time. I love to do seminars for the public, for people, because I want to see the mind shift in their head. I love that when you bring people's understanding to another level. And we do lots of those, not so much recently with COVID because you can't have any groups, but we're starting to. We're going to a dentist office next week, and I'm doing a seminar for them on how this all works, because they don't understand it at all, but they get people with jaw problems and headaches and stuff like that, and they don't really know what to do sometimes. So anyway, you can always email me at Dr. Mike, DrMike at iChiroClinics.com, or if somebody wants to call one of our offices, you know, they can do that. And, you know, the first step for anybody that's looking to get some functional restoration and mobility is always to do an evaluation, measure all of the different movements, and then we see. And if it looks like stuff you can help, then we move forward. We do a few treatments, see how they respond, give them an estimate of how long we think it's going to take, what costs are going to be involved, so that they have realistic time and cost expectations, so then they can choose what they want to do. It's kind of like with what you did when we had, you know, when we had our little boy. It's like, here's what we think is going to happen, here's what the costs are going to be, time frames, all this. So we didn't really didn't have any surprises. And we do that too. And we did that for a long time. That's why we won the Better Business Bureau Trust Award for ethics. The main thing that when I outlined that for them, that we're going to estimate time and cost for patients, I mean, that blew everybody away. They had no idea. And so we actually won that 2014, which was very big deal. Yeah, because no chiropractor had ever won it. So we were super excited about it. And that's really how healthcare should be. It should be transparent, so people know what's happening, and then patients should understand, so they are picking what they want and then not surprised by their outcomes. They should all be like on one page.
Yeah. Well, I could listen to you for 3 hours talk, Mike. I've got all the questions in my head. And, well, I would love to. We'll chat on the sidelines of doing like another interview in a couple of months. I've got a bunch of questions. I wanna space them out. But thank you for all your wealth of knowledge today.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.